Welcome to the Fabulous Fempreneurship podcast series for entrepreneurs with your host, Elaine Slatter. Each episode addresses topics to help you and your business grow and succeed. Join us as we interview a variety of global experts.
Hello, Fabulous Fempreneurship podcast listeners. We have a great topic today. It's how to write a book and what it can do for your business. And today, our guest is Larissa Sohn. So welcome to our show, Larissa. It's great to have you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Yes. Now, before we get started, I know you've written a few books. Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, your background?
Yeah, absolutely. So I, right now in my current life, am a book coach, a ghostwriter, an author. I'm also a psychology student. I'm a mother. I am what most, like you probably have on your guest, entrepreneurs. I'm very complex and busy. I started in the author journey about 3-4 years ago now when I published my first science fiction book. And I honestly got hooked. I couldn't see myself doing anything else. And so when I was able to combine passion with talent, I'm able to, you know, teach others how to use a book in their business, how it can help them grow. It's really just a dream come true. It's kismet.
Yeah, it is fascinating. That's something I'd like to do is write fiction. I've only written nonfiction, and I'm a crime kind of thriller person, and I'd love to be able to do that. But I think that's something that is unique in itself. The characterizations, I'm not sure how I would do that and how good I'd be at that, but I know what you mean. You do get hooked on the writing, that's for sure. So let's dive in here. How many books have you written, and what drove you to write them?
Oh my goodness. Such a good question. I have written upwards of 10 plus books, 5 of which have been published. I've published a science fiction, 3 children's books, and a how to write a book, memoirs and autobiographies book. And that's the one that I built my business on. That's the one that I wrote using my, you know, tried and true program. And then I marketed it and made thousands and thousands of dollars. So that's the one I kind of hinge everything on. The sci-fi book is kind of like what you said. It was really fun. It was really fun to write. It wasn't going to be like anything major. It wasn't going to hit like New York Times bestseller or anything, but it was fun. It was world building. It was character building. It was dialogue. It was just so much different than nonfiction. And yeah, it was a lot of fun, but the nonfiction is where I've put my business and my money at.
Yeah. Now, did you write the science fiction one first, or did you write the business one first?
I wrote the science fiction one first. I actually wrote probably four fiction books first. And then I decided, you know, there's money in the entrepreneur world in nonfiction books for businesses. And I stepped away from the fiction genre for a little bit and jumped into nonfiction. And now I'm also working on my memoir. Which is taking me, you know, longer than any of the other books have taken because it's just so much more personal.
Yeah.
So I started in fiction, wrote my sci-fi books, wrote a murder mystery. It hasn't come out yet. I don't know that it ever will, but it was fun to write. And then I dipped into the nonfiction.
Great, great. So yeah, writing a book is quite a journey. So could you tell us, what is a book coach and a ghostwriter?
Yeah, so they're two different camps that overlap really, really nicely. So a book coach is someone that walks you through the various stages of writing and publishing your book. And there's really 4 pillars that you can find a book coach in. There's the writing skills and the accountability partner. There's the editing partner that you can, you know, hire an editor. There's a couple different styles of editing you can get. There's the marketing. You can hire a marketing coach to help you actually market and sell your book. And then there's the publishing realm. So there's 4 very distinct types of book coaches you'll find out there. I chose to not go general or specific, and I went more generalized, where I coach in all 4 camps. And so I will help a writer, an author, through from word 1 to published, which includes how to sell your book, which is so important. And then a ghostwriter is someone, and ghostwriting gets a bad rap because when people hear, oh, I had my book ghostwritten, they kind of discredit all the work that went in for that author. And a ghostwriter is really just delegation at its finest. It's someone coming in with an idea, with an image, a story, and saying, I want to tell this story, but I might not have the time, or I might not have the, you know, the skills, whatever the case might be, but my story deserves to be told. And so they hire someone to help them tell it. That's a ghostwriter.
Yeah. Well, Prince Harry had a ghostwriter when he wrote his book.
Most famous people have had their books ghostwritten.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're not necessarily writers. They might have the idea, and as you said, they may not have the time to flush out a whole book, because that takes quite a good amount of time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So in your experience, how can a book help boost a business?
Books are phenomenal things. And this is why I stepped into the book coaching world specifically for coaches to help them write books. Because when I wrote my first book, and keep in mind, it was a sci-fi book, when I started calling myself an author, people immediately assigned me credibility well before they ever picked up my work. If they even did pick up my work, they heard, oh my, like, you're an author. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. You must be like really good at what you do. And it was that like authority and credibility that came with the title that I was like, entrepreneurs need this. They need that title that just asserts themselves at the top of a room and says, I know what I'm talking about. So when you write a book, especially in the nonfiction genre, so when I wrote my How to Write a Book, it amplified that because it became an international best-selling book. So my credibility went even higher. Not only was I a sci-fi author, but now I was this international best-selling author of a how-to book. And, you know, it hinged right on my business. It was exactly in alignment with what I was teaching others to do. And it helps me get on podcasts like this. It helps me get speaking engagement. It helps me bring in clients because my book is my qualifier. So I, you know, someone wants to come work with me on writing a memoir, let's say. That's not necessarily my specialty, but let's use that as an example. They come in and they want to write their memoir. My first thing I ask them to do is pick up a copy of my book. It's $10. It's $10 investment. I think it's $3.99 for ebook. Like, it is a minimal investment, but it weeds out the people that are willing to invest in you and the ones that aren't. If they're not willing to buy the $4 book, they're not going to buy your high ticket program. But the chances of someone picking up your $4 book, reading it, loving what you have said, and then signing to your high ticket program are so much higher. So with this one book, that's not even in my specialty realm. My specialty is helping coaches write business books. It has made me thousands of dollars on the credibility alone and the vetting. So there's so many ways a book can help your business. That's just like the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, absolutely. So should everybody write a book, not just consultants, but in other fields?
Oh, yeah. There's this the saying, everybody should write a book. And everybody has a story in them. And I think the difference between everybody and the actual authors is just the will to do it. It literally just comes down to, do you want this?
Well, I think it scares a lot of people because they think, you know, all the I can't do it because come out, especially for women, you know, what do I know? I'm not a writer by trade. And all the excuses come up in your mind as to why you can't write the book. But that's not true at all.
No, not at all. It's the number one or the top two complaints or roadblocks to people. Women's particularly is time. I don't have the time. And that is so common. And I don't have the skill.
Yeah.
those are not good enough reasons to not do something that's important to you. We do things all the time that we don't necessarily have the time or the skill for, but we learn, we read, we find the resources, we make the time, we adjust our schedules, we make it work because we want it to work.
Yeah, let's take motherhood. Like when you start out, you don't know anything about it. But by the time you've finished with a teenager, you know a whole lot about it. You've either researched it or you've lived it or you've made mistakes. You know what I mean? Like you get through it. And when you started out, you knew absolutely nothing about motherhood.
Yeah. And despite all the people telling you, oh, you'll be a natural, it'll just come easy to you. It is hard. And a book is the same way. But then you lean on the resources that you know are going to help you. Like when my daughter was a baby, we invested in sleep training. And it's the same as hiring a book coach. It's the same as I didn't have the skills to do this. So I hired somebody. I found somebody that was going to teach me how to do it. And then, you know, I taught her.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So people shouldn't be scared to write a book if they even think they should. Like, I think something like 97% of people want to write a book and only about 3% actually do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm sure it's your job to make that 3% a lot bigger percentage than 3, you know, because as you say, that everybody has a story to tell. And if they're in business, it will help boost their business if they do write a book.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So let's go through, what does it take to write a book?
The will. That's the first thing. You got to want it. You have to want to do this. It's not something you passively pick up as a project because it'll just end up on your shelf and never get done. So you have to have the will, and then you have to have the knowledge. And what I love about that is that you don't have to have the knowledge on how to write. You don't have to have good spelling, good grammar, or anything like that. You can find people to help you with that. But you have to have the knowledge about what it is that you're trying to say. And the beautiful part about that is, like, when I wrote my How to Write a book, there were elements that I didn't know, I didn't understand. And so I researched them and I became knowledgeable. And I think a lot of people can get hung up on that. They're like, well, I know about this, but I don't know about this. And it's like, well, then learn about it, become the expert in it. And then put your own twist on that knowledge. How does that knowledge work for you? How does it work for your clients? So you have to have the will, you have to have the knowledge, and then you have to make the time. And I don't say have the time because nobody has the time. That's just sitting there for hours. There's not a free hour in our day that just needs something in it. It's making the time to do it, making this one of your priorities, making the adjustments in the other things that maybe have to fall to the side for, you know, a couple of weeks, a couple of months, so that you can get this book written. Those are kind of the three key pillars to it. And I don't want people to get hung up on the knowledge component, because what we don't know, we can learn. We are capable of learning. And that's the beautiful part about a coach, is that we learn together.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you. I don't know about you, but when I wrote my book, I set aside like 30 minutes a day just to write. And then when the 30 minutes were up, I just didn't do anymore. I just made myself the best time of the day for me. I set aside 30 minutes every day to write something. I didn't, you know, I didn't stress over what I was writing. I just wrote. You know, I had an idea in my mind of what I wanted to write and the layout of, you know, how it was going to go. And I just wrote. And then I got hooked on the writing. Like, so the 30 minutes became like 45 minutes. And then the 45 minutes became an hour a day. And then if you just make that a habit of writing every day, because as you said, like, somebody can fix the grammar, somebody can do the editing. So your job is just to get your idea on paper and or your ideas on paper. And then before you know it, if you you know, discipline like that. I mean, there are days when you don't feel like writing, so you don't maybe write that day. But on the whole, I tried to write 5 days a week, starting out with a half an hour and then an hour. And before you know it, the book is written because, you know, you're just carving out, as you said, an hour or whatever time you have in a day. And if you do it religiously, before you know it, the book is written. But mm-hmm. if you kind of look at it like, oh, it's going to take me 2 months to write the book, then you sometimes you wouldn't even get started because it's too big a step from 0 to 2 months finishing. Mm-hmm. And so I found that worked for me. I don't know how you did it, but perhaps you mm-hmm. could tell us how you started.
Yeah, with my sci-fi book, I was in corporate many, many years ago, and I happened to be off work for health reasons. And so I did have the time. The time was there. I had 8 hours a day where I was like, I don't know what to do with myself. So that was not a problem. But when I wrote my How to Write a Book, I was a full-time entrepreneur. I was a student. I was, you know, a mother, a wife. I had so many priorities that it became part of my workday. And that's why I love working with coaches that are writing books for their businesses, because it becomes a work-related task. They schedule it into mm-hmm. their workday. So it's not taking away from, you know, their family time or their me time, or that's important. They're scheduling it into their workday. And so that's what I did with my How to Write a Book. I think I started at about 45 minutes a day. And then like you get sucked into it. And I ended up to an hour, maybe an hour 15. And I wrote my book in 4 weeks, I think, is when I got it written. And I from word one to published, it took me about 12 weeks.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. I think it took me a little bit longer. Because I was in that part where I had to do a little bit of research. So that would take up, say, an hour a day. As you said, like if you're writing the book and there's a part that you're not too sure of and you need to research it, then that might be a day where you did nothing but the research on that particular mm-hmm. area.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's a good way to start, is not to overwhelm yourself with the whole project, but to just take it a little bit at a time. And as you said, and I found that it just takes off because you get so engrossed in it that you find that the writing, one, becomes easier, and two, you're so hooked on it that you might steal another half hour in that particular day.
Yeah. And another really good way to get started, and this is before you start actually writing, and really good for nonfiction genres. It can apply to fiction. I don't write that way, so I won't advertise it that way, but is outlining your work. So kind of what you talked about, like you have an idea of what you're going in, but what this can do to people's brains is, this is the first thing I do with clients. It's the second thing I do with clients is we outline what your book is going to look like, starting with how your book is going to flow, what your chapter headers are going to be, and then what is inside each chapter. Just bullet point. We just list it out. And then when people come to sit down at their computer for their 30 minutes, 60 minutes, whatever the case might be, they pull up that beautiful outline and they don't have to write in chronological order. And this is my favorite part about my program mm-hmm. is writer's block hits when you don't know what to say about something. So switch that something up. Pick a different topic that you're feeling motivated on for that day.
Right.
You don't have to start with chapter one in nonfiction. It's beautiful that way. It's my favorite part. My memoir is written all over the place. Of course, I'll have to come back and piece it together. But if I don't feel like writing about a certain topic that day, if it's just not in my creative wheelhouse that day, I don't. And that's where an outline really saves you. You can cherry pick the list.
Yeah, that's great because, you're absolutely right. You know, a book has lots of chapters and whatever you're in the mood to write about is what you should write about. And then you can tick off that one and go on to another one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's really great. Great tip there. So what other tips and secrets do you have for our listeners who might be thinking about writing a book?
My biggest tip, and this is a lesson learned, hang my head in shame. You need to market your book. Just like us as entrepreneurs having these services, we get that people don't just come knocking on our door when you first start out. You have to build up your marketing plan. A book is the same. A book in the business sense is a double acting. It will market your business while you market it. So the way we write our books is that they are a calling card to your high ticket program. Mm-hmm. So you talk about all the things you offer your clients in your high ticket program, the solutions you're offering, your techniques, all of that is in your book, and you give them enough that they want more. Mm-hmm. So your book markets your program. You have to market your book, and book marketing starts the day you start writing. So the first time we start sitting down together, we're going to be talking about how we're going to market your book. So don't do what I did with my first science fiction book and just assume people will pick it up off the shelf. There is like 1 billion books out there in the world. The chances of someone just randomly picking yours up are very slim. You have to work for it. And that starts the day you start writing.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree with that. That's for sure. So what do you think about book launches? Like, I know we've been through COVID, but I mean, you can always do a virtual book launch. It doesn't have to be in person. What do you think about that for marketing your book?
Book launches are really good because you can offer like pre-sale, download the book ahead of time. You can give away a free chapter of your book to get the drum up the excitement. You can build your email list. And then kind of what you mentioned, the in-person versus virtual book launches is actually a really good debate that I think Book World had over COVID, because people that didn't want to have in-person book launches were suddenly allowed to go virtual, hide behind the computer screen, because it just wasn't their thing to go in person. Mm-hmm. And it just opened the door for all those people that, you know, felt nervous about the in-person. So I like book launches. Personally, I didn't do anything special for either of my books. I kind of regret it. I wish I had done an in-person at my local bookstore. Maybe with my second sci-fi, I'll do that. But they're not everyone's cup of tea, and you don't have to do that. You can do a full marketing campaign like 10 days leading up to your launch day, and then literally make a post like, hey, my book is launched, a couple times that day. And it can work. You might not get the same celebratory feeling that you get from a book launch, like a launch party per se, but you can achieve the same results.
Now we're talking here about self-publishing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Generally, that's where I work. Yeah.
Yeah. It's self-publishing. So for our listeners, that means that you are going to get your own editor. You're going to get somebody to help you, like Larissa, with the marketing, the writing, everything, and the publishing itself. And there's different ways to go with that. So what do you recommend for the publishing? Do you recommend going the Amazon route for the publishing, for the hard copy?
Oh my gosh, this is such a hot topic right now. And I'm hoping it'll be died down by the time this podcast comes out in 5 weeks. But Amazon is amazing for indie authors because it's free. You can use their services, but there's some exclusivity clauses built in there that as an indie author, you might not be aware of. So as a coach, that's kind of my job, is to inform you of what it means to be indie published, self-published through Amazon. I do like Amazon. It is my preferred, even with all the hubbub right now. I still like Amazon. There's also another site called Ingram Spark. It's not free. You have to buy into the program, but the distribution is wider. So if you're looking to get into bookstores, like physical bookstores, Ingram Spark is a good option for you.
Yes, I've heard of that. But I haven't, I didn't go that route myself, but that's certainly one that should be on everybody's radar. But I guess most people seem to like to go to Amazon to pick up a book because it's so easy to do, right?
Yeah, I think 60% of book sales worldwide are made on Amazon.
Yeah. Exactly. So if you're not ready to write your whole big book, what do you think about like being part of a compilation book? Is that a good idea?
Yes. And for many reasons. So I'm solo first. My solo books came first, and then I joined two compilation books last year, and they're both coming out this year. And it was such a different experience. When I wrote my solo book, it was very isolating. I didn't have the big network, the support systems. You know, finding an editor was a challenge. Finding cover designers, all of this stuff was very lonely. When I joined into my compilation books, and the atmosphere was so different. And I'm not going to say it's the same for every compilation book. Sometimes, you know, it might not work out this way. But if you find one that you feel connected with and like it's going to be, you know, it's a topic you're passionate about, you like the organizers, all of that is feeling good when you sign up, you are walking into a community of like-minded authors that you can talk to, you can learn from. The editing is likely going to be covered for you. They're going to pick an editor for you. The cover design is going to be done for you. And it's a really good way. If you're nervous about writing a book, this is an amazing way to dip your toe in the waters. And I think you and I were chatting before, that's exactly, you know, why a lot of authors do what they do with compilation books is because they're curious. They want to know more, but the world of authorship, full authorship, scares them. So this is a great way to get started.
Yeah, because in the compilation book, you know, you could be one of maybe 10 authors or 15 authors or something like that, or fewer, who knows? But that means you're only writing one chapter usually. So that's a lot more doable than for most people, because you can dip your toe in the water, so to speak, and you know, just write the one chapter, and then the editor that is assigned to that book, you'll get feedback from the editor, so you'll know whether, you know, you have a lot to fix or not a lot to fix. Or, you know, I think it could be for some people a really great way to start. And as you say, you're with other like-minded people. And I found that being part of a compilation book meant you could build your network with fellow authors. Like, you know, I'm in a compilation book that's coming out at the end of March. And I've really enjoyed getting to know the other authors and build a relationship with them and get to know what they do. And you know, it's a lot more fun than writing your own book all on your own,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah, because you've got that support network of the other authors and the person who's overseeing it and in charge of it too. You've got a relationship with them as well. So that could be a good way for people who are just starting out and who might be a little bit nervous.
Yeah. And I will warn anybody that's thinking about it. It'll either go one of two ways. You will love it and you will get that writing bug that we're talking about and a full book will be in your future, or you won't like it and you'll decide that this was not for me. It's going to go one of two ways.
And
More often than not, the people that are curious and decide to go into a compilation book because they want to know more end up loving it and finding that this is something they need in their life.
Yeah, well, but we won't sugarcoat it. It's still work, even if you have one chapter to write. You know, there's you're still part of the marketing of the book. And you know what I mean? You still have mm-hmm. to help with the marketing or be part of the marketing. So it's not just write the book and that's it. There's still quite a bit to it, even if you're in a compilation book.
Yeah. It's just shared workload, right? You get to share that with, you know, 10, 15 other people.
Yeah, exactly. So it's been great to talk to you, Larissa, about writing a book. And I'm sure some of our listeners are definitely going to take you up on one of your programs. And I understand you have a special offer for our listeners today.
I do. Yes. So I'm offering a freebie of how to get started writing your book today. It gives you three easy steps on to take that you can take today to start getting your book out of your head and onto paper. So that's available. You can find me at larissasowen.coach or larissasowen.com. It's on both spots. One's an author, one's a business website. So you can check out both platforms and find that freebie.
Okay. So it's on your website. So we'll have your website, both .coach and .com on this podcast episode. So check it out on fabfempreneurship.com and find Larissa's episode. And there will be the freebie that you can download from her website. So thank you very much, Larissa, for being such a great guest today. And it was a lot of fun talking to you.
Yes. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Okay, then. You have a great day.
To receive your free gift and connect directly with the podcast guest, visit our website at fabfempreneurship.com/entrepreneur-mastermind-podcasts and click on this episode. Here's to building your business growth one step at a time. If you enjoyed this podcast, why not tune in to other episodes in this series at fabfempreneurship.com/entrepreneur-mastermind-podcasts.